Thank you. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders and signs that God did through him among you. As you yourselves know, this man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening of the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Today we find ourselves in a locked room where some of Jesus' closest followers are huddled together as they try in the midst of their grief and fear to make some kind of sense of his death and rumors of his resurrection, which have been reported to them by the women in their group and who were closest to him. Even in those long ago times, dead people didn't routinely come back to life. Yet right in the middle of their discussions, Jesus appears. They're all present except Thomas, who, when told of Jesus' appearance, insists that he is unable to believe the wild story unless he can personally, physically see and touch the wounds in the body of Jesus, the wounds of the spikes in his wrists and the stab wound in his side. Of course, Thomas's name has become synonymous down to this day with someone who instinctively disbelieves or distrusts something that seems to be obvious to everybody else. Doubting Thomases, they're called. But on a subsequent occasion in that same crowded room, Jesus does appear again, and Thomas is present. Jesus invites him to do exactly what he says he needs to do in order to believe. Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. In the Sanssouci Gallery in Potsdam, there is a painting of the 17th century painter Caravaggio, famous for his portrayals of real life rather than the stylized formula favored by painters prior to him. And it captures all of the emotions of this moment. Jesus stands before Thomas, his hand brushing aside his own garment and gently holding and guiding Thomas's hand toward his side. Thomas's index finger is extended and is put in to the yet healing wound in his side. Two other disciples lean in, transfixed by what they are seeing. They seem stunned in silent awe. But there's this gentle, intimate tenderness in that guiding hand. There's no condemnation, no, "Well, I told you so." There is no accusation, only gentleness in Jesus' words and actions directed toward Thomas in that moment, who seems only able to stammer out, "My God, my Lord and my God." Jesus, however, then gently reminds him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." I wonder if he's remembering that incident that happened when Jesus determined to go to Judea to visit his friends Mary, Martha, and Lazarus at the time of Lazarus' death. The disciples, as you'll remember, urged him not to go. They said, "It's danger if you go. The Judean authorities will kill you. Don't go." But one of the disciples says, "Let us also go that we may die with him." And that's Thomas. Thomas at that point affirms that he is willing to die with Jesus. Only Thomas seems to have had a clear-eyed vision of what lay ahead and committed himself to living into it in the fullest, even if it meant his own death. And it's a defining, astonishing moment. And yet that nagging question still lingers. Where was Thomas during that week? Why was he missing in the group gathered in the room? I've wondered if it might be something like that strange phenomenon we call survivor's guilt. It's experienced not uncommonly by people who walk away unharmed from terrible tragedy in which many, many other people have died. They developed a sense of terrible depression and guilt that they have survived, and they cannot understand that. Did Thomas perhaps remember his having urged the group to accompany Jesus into the city where his death would occur? Was he afraid to gather with them? We will never know. Last week, Pamela, in her sermon, reminded us that the first witnesses of the resurrection were not the faithful women gathered at the mouth of the tomb, but rather the dust in the tomb, the cloth binding Jesus' body, the spices, the stone as it rolled away from the mouth of the burial cave. Creation and its creatures were the first to recognize and proclaim the appearance of the new creation. Creation itself has been made new in the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus' death and resurrection must never be seen by any of us as just making it so that Christians can go to heaven when they die. It's much, much more than that. It signals the dawn of an entirely new creation. Now, here. St. Paul reminded his listeners, the church in Corinth, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has been made new. In a sense, we must all die to ourselves in order to be raised to life in that new creation. Thomas's need to touch, to feel with his own senses, in his own body, his fingers and hands, the resurrection body of Jesus, means for us, for all creation, that something new is happening. It is something to be seen, touched, and personally experienced. It means we live in a resurrection creation. It's touchable. It's feelable. And we are resurrection people. And we need to be about the business of daily living in that reality. There is so much broken in our world these days. It seems to contradict that reality, but it is still a reality. We are still resurrection people. We are still part of a new creation. Though we can't physically examine Jesus' hands or put our fingers in the wound at his side, we can kneel before him and affirm, "My Lord and my God." And when we come to his table, we are reckoned as raised with him. We are new creation, and there is work to be done. When we come to this table Jesus has set before us, we take into our own hands the symbols of his body and his blood. When we rise from the table, we are reckoned raised with him. New creations. And there's work to be done. You'll remember that most of the disciples present in those hours and those days after this event moved west. The tradition is that Thomas moved east. And the tradition has it that he went as far as India and planted a seed of faith in that subcontinent. Oh, yes, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation, and came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the Church and the world.
In peace, we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice,
for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Sean, our presiding bishop, Megan, our bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, we pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Who put their trust in you.
O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably upon your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery. By the effectual workings of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are being brought to their perfection by him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And the peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. I'm Maria Kunefam, and I'm a member of the vestry, and I welcome you this morning. I have just a couple of announcements, a few announcements to highlight, but do encourage you to take the yellow sheet home so you can read about all the other things that I won't be covering this morning. But I do want to, first of all, let you know that, as you probably noticed coming in, there is a flowering of the cross that is happening today, and some flowers have already been put up there, but there's still a bucket full of flowers for you to take one and put some of those on the cross itself. Two things for next Sunday. One is that there is a garden tour. Five of our parishioners here have opened up their gardens for us to visit. Next Sunday, we'll have maps and also garden descriptions available for you to take with you. And hopefully the weather will be lovely spring, so that will be great. Next Sunday is the committal service for Russell St. Clair, whom some of you may know. That will be right after the 10 a.m. service. The family invites all in the congregation who knew Russell and wish to attend to please participate. There will be an enhanced coffee hour afterwards. Again, there are several April and May events for you to take a look at on the yellow sheet. And also, especially the rector's special hours, or office hours, on Tuesdays. What to do if you wish to contact her or speak with her at a different time. And one thing that I do also want to say that's not on the yellow sheet is I really want to thank all of you who participated in the brunch last Sunday. It was wonderful to see so many people attend, and thank you for all the food and the treats that were provided. So thank you.
And thank you to Maria for organizing all of that and making a lot of the food as well. The next part of the service is when we pray for people who have birthdays or anniversaries or whatever, and that got left out of the bulletin, but we do have at least one birthday I know, right?
Right. Jean Lyon celebrated her 94th birthday last week, so congratulations, Jean.
Are there any others? Yeah.
My son, Jonathan, our youngest son, turns 43 today. It's his birthday, and his son on Friday will turn 43 and 8. Wonderful. Any others? Neil.
Our daughter-in-law, Sherry, had her birthday last week.
Sherry's birthday last week. Thank you. Others?
And we will pray for these folks, and then, lest I forget again, if you are new here and have never received a welcome bag, which is a blue bag and has all sorts of information and goodies in it, just raise your hand and the usher will bring it to you. You can do it right now, as a matter of fact. You can raise your hand, and there you go. There's two there. And then, in case you don't know the prayer for celebrations and milestones by heart, It is in the prayer book. Imagine that. It's on page 830, and it's prayer number 51. So if you didn't know, there's a whole section in the Book of Common Prayer that's called Prayers and Celebrations. So there's a prayer for everything in there. So, all right. So let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And one more quick thing. Did the Godly Play kids, were they informed what time it was? Good. Okay. And the youth as well. Okay. They're just not done yet. All right. For communion, our bread is homemade. It's vegan and gluten-free, so it's as accessible to people as possible. All are welcome to receive at the table of the Lord. Just when the ushers let you know, you come up and fill in around the altar rail from the back to the front. You can stand or kneel. Hold out your hands and a piece of bread will be placed in them. And you can either consume it at that time and then drink from the cup that the chalice bearer will bring to you, or you can leave it in your hands and they will pick it up, intinct it in the wine, and then put it back in your hands for you to consume at that time. And don't forget what you are doing when you gather at the altar of the Lord. Ernie gave you some things, to think about. So that's about what I have. And let us walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Talk about your King of Kings. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. For in these last days you sent Jesus to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In Christ you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In Christ you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember Christ's death, we proclaim Christ's resurrection, we await Christ's coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Savior of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts,
that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through whom we are acceptable to you, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ and bring us to that heavenly country, where with blessed Martin and all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your children. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And as our Savior Christ has taught us, we now say, Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Gifts of God for the people of God.
And let us pray. Eternal God, you have graciously accepted us as living members of our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Savior. Amen. And the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.